Blog Talk Radio.
100 years ago, one of the nation's most affluent black communities was attacked by ground and by air. A mob of armed rioters used torches and even private airplanes to destroy 35 square blocks of an area in Tulsa, Oklahoma, known as Black Wall Street. The prosperous business district was razed, its residents murdered. Tulsa race massacre remains one of the worst incidents of racial violence in our nation's history, and the horrific event is the subject of a new documentary called Blood on Black Wall Street, The Legacy of the Tulsa Massacre. Here's Bertha Coombs with a preview.
1921, Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Greenwood section of town nicknamed Black Wall Street.
These were mom-and-pop type operations, sole proprietorships, beauty salons, restaurants, grocery stores, haberdasheries, pharmacies.
But racial tensions turned deadly in this segregated city when an armed white mob backed by law enforcement descended on the thriving black business district, every intent of destroying it, killing anyone who got in their way.
In less than 24 hours, that mob turned 35 square blocks of unparalleled black economic prosperity into smoldering ashes.
We saw coming up the wall four men with torches in their hands. When my mother saw them coming, she says, "You get up under the bed, get up under the bed." They set our house on fire and went right straight to the curtains and set the curtains on fire.
Unfathomable damage. 10,000 left homeless. In 2001, the Oklahoma Commission estimated between 100 and 300 people killed. A century later, generations of families still haunted by the physical and financial toll the massacre left behind.
Yes. My name is that. Okay. My name is Viola Ford Fletcher. I'm the daughter of Lucinda Ellis and John Wesley Ford of Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm the sister of Hughes Van Ellis, who's also here today. I'm a survivor of the Tulsa Race Massacre. 2 weeks ago, I celebrated my 107th birthday. Today, I'm visiting Washington, D.C. for the first time in my life. I'm here seeking justice, and I'm asking my country to acknowledge what happened in Tulsa in 1921. On May 31st, 21, I went to bed in my family's home in Greenwood, neighbors of Tulsa. The neighborhood I felt asleep in that night was rich, not just in terms of wealth, but in culture, community, heritage, and my family had a beautiful home. We had great neighbors, and I had friends to play with. I felt safe. I had everything a child could need. I had a bright future ahead of me. Greenwood could, still, Greenwood should have given me the chance to truly make it in this country. Within a few hours, all of that was gone. The night of the massacre, I was awakened by my family. My parents and five siblings were there. I was told we had to leave, and that was it. I will never forget the violence of the white mob when we left our home. I still see black.
100 years ago, one of the nation's most affluent black
Okay, we can get started. Is that what we said?
Yes, sir. You're good.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sister. Peace and black power to the family, Assalamu alaikum. Hotel, once again, we are back. Black Liberation, Building Power podcast. We have a very special show tonight that we wanted to bring at a very special time. This week, the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Black Wall Street Massacre. We want to take some time tonight and shine some light on this very historic event in the chronicles of circumstance in our history. We want to point to the relevance, and we want to have a very robust conversation with our listeners tonight. As you have seen talk all over the country concerning the Tulsa Massacre, the Black Wall Street Massacre, and you have heard many narratives concerning this event. Well, tonight, we want to have a D21 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We want to reflect back, and we want to warp speed forward 100 years to date and talk about what now. So, further ado, our topic for tonight will be Tulsa Massacre 100 years anniversary. What now? What now? Before I start any podcast, I'm always going to give great respect and honor to our ancestors, those who have come before us, who have fought and struggled before us. Take a moment and reflect on those ancestors of Tulsa, Oklahoma, on what is our responsibility today to those who had so much taken away from them and we haven't given a proper response even to this day. O ancestors, blacker than a thousand midnights, to you who we pay our respect and our honor, we ask you, almighty ancestors, to be with us tonight in our conversation. We ask the almighty ancestors that lost the fight in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We ask the almighty ancestors who lost so much that they had built in your wisdom to send us your spirit, so that you can speak through us tonight, so that we may feel an inspiration from your spirit to help us to gain the courage and the will and the determination necessary to do what we must do today. We reflect on you, almighty ancestors, today with love, with honor, and respect. Preside with us tonight as we engage this conversation. They may be effective in what it is that they impart so that we can move forward, almighty ancestors, in your name. We ask these things. Be with us and guide us tonight, almighty ancestors. Ashe. Ashe, Ashe, oh. Okay, family, have a mighty conversation tonight concerning the Rosewood Massacre. We want you to light the phone lines up tonight. I have some callers calling in tonight that we need to hear from, because these people are not just thought theorists. the 100-year anniversary of Tulsa, Oklahoma is not just something to reflect on for these callers. These callers feel the inherent responsibility to build what was lost again. Is that what we should be doing? And if it is, isn't this a consensus among our people? So, let's move forward with our conversation tonight. We want to be effective and we want to move on this conversation tonight. So, what happened 100 years ago? Well, according, Black Wall Street was what was the second wealthiest, according to some of the things that I've seen wrote. Really don't matter to me. Was the first or the second, third or fourth wealthiest. We'll find out tonight it wasn't the only one. We'll find out tonight that it was not the only one. But it's the most notable one for so many reasons. Created a place. They civilized a place in this country after the advent of slavery. Coming out of slavery, we civilized a domestication for ourselves that we call today Black Wall Street. It's very interesting how this place came about, because I sit here tonight in the mighty state of Mississippi that many people don't think much about, but Mississippi is very important to the development of this country. It's very important to the development of this country, and not only is it important to the development of this country, but it was to the development of Black Wall Street, because a major neighborhood in Tulsa, Oklahoma, known as the Greenwood District, the neighborhood in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that consists of about 10,000 black people, black residents. That's where they were from, the Greenwood District, because the majority inhabitants of the Greenwood District were from Greenwood, Mississippi. Greenwood, Mississippi. About an hour and 45 minutes from where I'm sitting right now. Those migrants from the racial oppression of the Delta in the South decided to migrate westward into Oklahoma and settled and built strong enclaves for our people, untampered at the time by white supremacy. Constraint, civilization that they were proud of, that we even proud of today. Some people say it consisted of many businesses, consisted of, let me get to the notes, it consisted of a library branch, two newspapers, four hotels, several barbershops, nine restaurants, a half a dozen professional offices, real estate agents, dentists, lawyers. I even heard that there was an airport with personal planes. Somewhere along the line, created a reason. Created a reason to come in and destroy Black Wall Street. So let's talk about it tonight, because we want to know what now. We want to know 100 years later, what now? And I have some very interesting things to add to this conversation. But before we do that, I had a conversation with a brother this week because I asked a critical question on social media this week. I said, so when we get back from Tulsa, celebrating the 100 year, or should we even say celebrate, commemorating? Should we even say that? The anniversary of a massacre. So when we get back from Tulsa, are we ready to build a Tulsa, Black Wall Street? Are we ready to build a Black Wall Street? Think about that. I found a brother that was just as serious as the Black Liberation Movement is serious. And I hope that brother is on right now, because we want to begin our conversation with this brother, because this brother got to go on, because he has a similar show that he do in a couple of minutes. So if we have caller Noble Turner from Colorado on, Brother Maurice,
yes, sir,
Andrew, let him come in. Brother Noble.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Peace and blessings, brother. How you doing?
Doing good, bro. How we be?
Yes, sir. I'm fine, brother. Peace and blessings to you. I'm glad that you're on. We're not going to try and hold up much of your time. We're going to cut straight to the chase. I asked a question on social media. I said, once we get back from Tulsa, are we ready to build one? You don't expect many people. But when you made your comment and you said, hey, if you're serious, this is what you need to do, because this is what we are doing. And the only thing I did was put eyes on your comment, because, and I went straight to your inbox. And I said, brother, I'm not offended, because you're not talking to me. You're talking to our people. And I was proud because of this bluntness. You said, hey, look, man, if you're serious, this is what you need to do. So, Brother Noble, we want you to talk about what it is that you're doing out there in Colorado, because I'm understanding in our conversation that you ascertained about 40 acres of land, and our brother, Clark Anderson, is very inspirational in what it is that you do. So without further ado, go ahead on and tell the people what it is that you're doing out there in Colorado.
All right. Thank you, bro. And I appreciate you for bringing me on your show. My name is Noble Turner. I'm out here in, I live in Denver, Colorado, and I run an organization called Unity Community. This Unity Community was started about 3 years ago. Like I was talking to you, brother, I read Paul Anderson's Black Labor, White Wealth, and Powernomics, and, you know, it really opened my eyes. You know? It really opened my eyes to what we need. So I went ahead and I purchased 40 acres. And, you know, Black Wall Street itself was 40 acres. So we have 40 acres as well. And we're actually trying to mimic what they're doing. You know, we're actually trying to build a community. But what we're about is we're about separation. You know, we're about getting away and building for our own, which our people should be doing. You know what I'm saying? Everything that we're going through,
yes, sir,
it's not going to stop, you know? And that's why I have a real big problem. Not a major problem, but, you know, everybody's out here marching and rioting and protesting. And, you know, at the end of the day, we just go home to the same stuff, to the same news program, the same that we even got killed again. So, you know, I figured that I need to go ahead and we need to go ahead and separate, you know. And the first thing in doing that is buying land. So that's what I do. That's what I did. And for the past 3 years now, we've been trying to develop it, man. We're trying to, you know, get septic systems, and we're trying to build housing. So we're looking for those now. So it's an uphill battle, but, man, it's worth fighting, you know. It's worth fighting to know that we can do something for ourselves.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, Brother Noble, as you talk, a big old smile comes on my face, because elated about your efforts, brother. I'm even elated to know that it's somebody else that understands that something tangible has to be created. I'm overjoyed that we are not just thought theories. We're not just projecting thought without action. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about the struggles that we have had as the Black Liberation Movement in our efforts to practically applicate tangibles that it takes to begin to create the liberation that people talk about. And I told you in our conversation that I'm very admirous of what it is that you're doing, because you in a state yourself, brother. I know about Colorado, you know, as far as the demographics. I told you I love geography. I love topography, which is the study of where people are geographically. Colorado, brother, I don't think about Black people, you know. And I just want you to touch on that, you know what I'm saying, because I know it's hard for us to even galvanize in a state like Mississippi, where ratio to proportion, we the blackest state in the United States of America. And it's hard for us to galvanize Black people to concentrate an effort such as what it is that you and I are both intricately involved in. So how do you get Black people in Colorado to hear your voice, brother?
Man, I tell you, bro, it's an uphill battle. You know what I'm saying? But you know, really,
yes,
to
sir.
Give a little bit of history on Colorado, man, we have a rich Black history out here. You know what I'm saying? One of our first settlements, one of the first Black settlements in the United States for free people was in Deerfield, Colorado. And, you know, I had ties with them, and, you know, they're part of the historical society. So we tried to do it with them. But, you know, it's some people that came in, some people that look like us but are not like us. And, you know, they went and sold it. You know, this man, Oliver Toussaint Jackson, he started this community of 100 people, and this was over 100 years ago. And, you know, this man died.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to build this community. So, you know, I tried to build it up too for him. And, you know, it's just a lot of, here in Colorado, we are comfortable in uncomfortability. That's what I always say, you know. And, you know, I've been trying, like I said, for 2 or 3 years, and I'm going to keep on, but, you know, I'm looking for other resources in other states and stuff. So I'm glad I hooked up with you. I want listeners on here, I'm not saying if any, not meaning that, but if you're listening, make sure that you check out Stonecrest, Georgia, and Freedom, Georgia. It's actually in a town called Toonsboro, and 19 families have purchased over 95 acres, and they're doing the same thing I am. So this is not just me and you, you know what I'm saying? There's people trying to do this. We just have to get the word out. And I don't know if this is the time and the era for this, or, you know, or our people are just stuck, but, you know what I'm saying, this is going to be our only answer. You know, we can try to pick up arms and go to war, la, 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 but we're not ready for that because we can't unite. Mm-hmm. In war, you have to unite. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
right.
That's what I'm trying to get through to people, that's going to be our only way, fam, to separate ourselves and empower ourselves. You know what I'm saying? And the only way to empower yourself is on your own, in your own community. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm trying to teach people. But, you know, it's an uphill battle, like I keep on saying. But, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, that I get to be able to reach out and get the right resources to really do this, because I'm not stopping, you know. I've made this my life mission to do. You know what I'm saying?
Sir.
So, you know, whether it gets done by hook or crook, it's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? I'm just waiting for that big boom where people understand, like, man, we need to separate and get ourselves together. And then that's when it's showtime, you know?
Yes, sir. I commend you, Brother Noble. And I'm with you, brother. And we will be sending our monthly package to you because I did see where you actually have created an economic social media way of us helping economically with what it is that you're doing. But let me ask you this, Brother Noble, and I know you got to get ready for your show. What is it you think that stopped dead in our tracks when we started to talk about separating and building for ourselves? What is it? Because I deal with it all the time, and it's irritating to me that we cannot imagine separation. What is that? What do you think that is?
Well, you know, really, I think it's two things. First thing I think is this brainwashing. We've been the victim of the worst brainwashing in history. You know what I'm saying? We have actually had our history and ourselves, you know, so who we really are, wiped away. So, you know what I'm saying? Within that, you know, it's that titty. We can't get off that titty, man. That white titty's been feeding us for hundreds of years, and we can't get off. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And those who are lucky enough to get off, sometimes they have withdrawals from it. You know what I'm saying? It's like we have to include them. We have to have them with us. And we have to break away from that, man, because it's deadly. It's poisonous. That's poisonous milk that we're sucking on, you know?
Right. Yeah, we drawing
and
from
I really think it's going to take either some major tragedy or, you know, it's going to take our people for us to, you know what I'm saying, really take care of our people. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
do something like a welfare program for black people. I don't know, bro.
Yes, sir. Well, listen, you said something just then, and I have to speak to it. You said it's gonna take something. It's gonna take a major tragedy of something. But you know something, brother? I'm not disagreeing with you, but I am, because we have those major somethings happen every day. You know, what about the massacre? You know, we can go on and on, man. I got over 30-something massacres that took place in America that we need to know about. What about all the social injustices that we suffer daily? You know, and I'm just using, you know, the thought of it's going to take something as a springboard for us to see what it is that I'm trying to say. What is it going to take? Is it going to take another George Floyd with a Derek Chauvin sitting on his neck for 9 minutes? Is it going to take another Trayvon Martin trying to make it home, walking through what was supposed to be a nice, a white neighborhood and getting wrestled down and fighting for his life and getting gunned down by ass motherfucker like George Zimmerman? Is it going to take another Tamir Rice who stay on the playground, minding his business, playing in real killer in police suits, ride up on him and shoot him and take his life? What is it going to take for us to realize this, brother? You see what I'm saying? So
it just brings up something that I was talking to another brother about, man. He said, if you think about it, and if, let's just say that a big white mob just started killing people, killing black people, you know what I'm saying, taking us out by the hundreds and thousands, how long will it take us to get up, organize, know something's going wrong, and fight back? How many people do you think would die? And that brother stopped me, brother, because it could be in the millions before we finally be like, okay, something's going on.
Yes,
y'all,
sir.
Let's get ready. Let's do something, you know? Because we're so used to it.
So
we're so used to us dying every day that we wouldn't even know how to count, how to bring about a counterattack.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Bad, bro.
So you know what that says to me, Brother Noble, and we're going to press on after this. That says to me that if it takes 1,000 of us to die, like what happened in Tulsa, the topic of our conversation tonight, if it takes 10,000 of us to die at the hands of these killers, if it takes 1 million of us to die, then we just pad numbers. Take but one of us to die in justice. How many Asians had to die before they started pushing legislation to stop Asian killing?
And that's what I'm saying.
2 months ago. Okay, I understand, bro. And that's what we trying to point out to our people. We trying to point out to our people it shouldn't take 10,000 black people to die. Hell, 600 million of us were lost in the transatlantic slave trade. We have become immune. It's normal for us to watch these folks kill us. So when they hear brothers like Noble Turner, when they hear brothers like Patrick Lumumba, when they hear brothers like Maurice Muhammad, when they hear brothers like Shabaka Afrika, when they hear brothers like LeVon Murphy and all these different people who talking the same thing, why do we go into shock? Because we stated facts. And what is it going to take? What is it going to take? So we got to build. What hasn't happened is that critical mass, brother, I'm talking about you and me and the brothers that I named, we have just began to make the commitment to build something that our people can see a different reality. That's the point that I come, so that our children, I ain't talking about these grown-ass niggas, talking about products of white supremacy that have assimilated into the culture of white people. That's a major part right there. We got too many niggas, the products of white supremacy, that's what niggas are, products of white supremacy, that have assimilated and have become little white people themselves. They don't want to separate from them. So it's very few of us, brother, that have this conviction and this commitment. But it's our responsibility to build something that our people can look at and see, and they can make the choice. I heard Elijah Muhammad teach a very great lesson. So people will drink dirty water until you set a clean glass beside. So, my brother, I'm with you 100%. If anybody got any questions right now for Brother Noble, and if anybody want to connect with Brother Noble, and you on the line right now, we want to hear from you before Brother Noble leave. If you want to help Brother Noble financially, do what it is that he's trying to do, let's hear from you.
And that's another thing I was talking about too, bro. This doesn't even have to be about money. Like I was saying, if y'all donate a shovel or some fencing or some wood or some drywall, you know what I'm saying? When we talk about money, our people get real finicky. Like, oh, he's trying to do some scam stuff. So that's why I want to keep people comfortable and let them know that
Noble, you're right. But the white man can talk about money. Everybody else can talk about money. And we tear our pockets loose. Yes, sir. But go ahead. I just wanted to say that for the people that listen. You're right.
But yeah, fam, make sure you guys check us out at unitycommunity.news if you want to see what we're doing and make sure that everything is all right. We're on Facebook, Unity Community. We are on YouTube, Unity Community and Mile High News. Just check us out. And I want everybody to know that we are serious about this, fam. You know, like I said, we've been doing this for the past 3 years. And it is what needs to be done. There is no other answer for us but to separate to ourselves. Okay, you might have some people going off and, you know, sneaking back on down to the city, and you know, but that's cool. But at least you know that you'll have a home that is safe to come back to where you can't be killed on a moment's notice. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Yeah, that's really what this is for. Right. It's for our safety.
Right. No doubt, brother. And I appreciate you. And, another point to be made before you go, you are connected with the brothers and sisters that down there in Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. They made a national national news, if there's anything to speak of, about Freedom Georgia, that they built down
Georgia,
there. And they got to be very careful, brother. And I'm going to say that because white people want to begin to control the narrative with that. And I was very admirous of what was taking place down there, the brothers and sisters. But when the cameras started coming in, when they was on 60 Minutes and all these different things, I started to see the interworking, the meandering of white supremacy beginning to leak in. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what's really going on. You know better than me, but I just want us to be careful and be vigilant in our efforts. And we got enough ourselves. Just keep our will and our determination, and we can make it, brother. So, Brother Noble, if you have any parting shots, go ahead on and give them. But we appreciate you coming on, brother, and we have your information, and we'll be standing with you, brother. We'll be standing with you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank all y'all. And I just want to bring up my 19 families in Georgia. You guys please check them out and check out the Black Achievement Fund. That's what they're using to fund their city. And let's just do it, though. It's time to stop this talking, you know. I love the talking because the talking is how I got, conscious, if that's what you want to call it. That's how I came into this knowledge. But, you know, after you acquire the knowledge, execute. So peace
and
love.
That's right, brother. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Brother Noble. We appreciate you, brother. And we'll
sir.
Be getting
love
back
y'all.
With you very soon. Yes, sir.
Definitely.
Love you, brother.
Black first.
Peace and bless. Black first. Most definitely. Thank you. That was Brother Noble Turn, Unity Community out in Colorado. In Colorado, we have other black people that's doing what needs to be done. So do we have any other callers? Before we move on, do we have any other calls? There'll be no other calls. Let's talk. Let's talk. So, white people come in and destroy Black Wall Street, a very lucrative place for black people. It was very recent that I found out that the Gap Band song, "You Dropped a Bomb on Me, Baby, You Dropped a Bomb on Me," was a reflection and a tribute to Black Wall Street. Y'all know that? "You Dropped a Bomb on Me, Baby, You Dropped a Bomb on Me." Hit that song. Did y'all know that massacre that took place in Tulsa, Oklahoma, was the first bombing of a United States city by his own government? Let me say it again. It was the first bombing of a United States city by his own government. That's domestic terrorism. It's called domestic terrorism. Bombed by its own government. Now, you got an angry white mob marching into town. Y'all heard the stories of the people who witnessed or who was there came on. Did y'all hear the story? I heard one from a black woman that told her children to go and hide under the bed. The mob was coming down the street. These were civilians, white civilians. So they didn't own the plane that flew over to bomb the city. Watch this. Watch what I'm trying to say. These were white civilians that felt the need to go into this black prosperous district. Black people who didn't need white people. Black people who had figured out that we can do it on our own. Civilians came in, a lynch mob, burning down the city. So the government that we petitioned for today to give us reparations, the government that we petitioned to pass laws for us and accommodate us with grants and all these different things, the government didn't come in to get rid of the angry white mob. What did the government do? See? What did the government do? The government owned the plane that flew over and bombed the city. Not the civilians who had the Molotov cocktails. See how the government bad, white, angry people? So it ain't no surprise to me. Oh, it was the first city ever bombed. It was a black city 100 years ago. Now what? So we 100 years from Black Wall Street, and we ain't decided to build one again yet. White folks have scared the hell out of us. They have scared the hell out of us. We won't even attempt in all the social injustice that we suffer, all the discrimination, all the education, all the prison incarceration. We haven't decided yet to build a safe haven. Like what Noble Turner is trying to do. Like what the sisters and brothers down there in Georgia is trying to do. And what the Black Liberation Movement is doing. We haven't galvanized a collective a critical mass of people that can manifest a safe haven for our people. Brother Maurice, you have something tonight?
Yes, sir, Brother Commander, I do. I just wanted to touch on that part real quick since you're getting on there about the rebuilding. They did rebuild Tulsa. They rebuilt that black area, not to the great standard it was before, but they did rebuild it. But this time when they rebuilt it, they did something different. They integrated with the cracker. They integrated with the cracker. Now, there's no way in my understanding that these are the same fuckers that just killed you. These are the same fuckers that took your wealth. And those that remain rebuilt and then integrated with the same damn people that just destroyed you. And it is this sick mentality that we still walk around today with, that House of Representative guy down in, I think he's in the Carolinas. I believe he's in North Carolina. And this nigga had a nerve to get on the interview and say that America is not a racist country. America is not racist. America is free from racism. And wow. This nigga, he's the third ranking person in the House of Representatives, and he's going to get on TV and say America is not racist.
Wow. Wow. Ain't that something?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to add that in there for you.
Yes, sir. So we clearly see why he's the third ranking, because he's no different from a white person. So we know he got there by way of black people, and he immediately sold us out. And that's a pervasive problem that we have with our black politicians, you know, and that's something that we have to address moving forward, seriously address moving forward. This nigga said that America is not a racist, and America is built on racism. Who you fooling? Who you think you talking to? That's amazing. Thank you for that, Brother Commander. I want to make some points. And we still have some more people calling in, too. But I want to make some points right here. I was talking about the Gap Bank. And, that whole naming of the Gap Band was from the three street, major street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Greenwood Street, Archer Street, and Pine Street that created the name of the Gap Band. I just wanted to throw that in there because we don't have artists like that today. To speak historically, powerfully to our people and our youth. We don't have earth, winds, and fire anymore. We don't have these people, these artists that breathe and sing life into our people, that teach us lessons in the song. So I was listening yesterday to Brother Shabaka Africa's Zoom, and Brother Shabaka does a great job of teaching us historically happenings and the events. And he's such a profound elder on the social dynamics that we deal with. But what I did not witness, and I think it's seriously missing in our social lives as a nation of black people, is that there was no youth. So when we disseminating about our history, and when we talking about our history, who are we talking to? We need to be talking to a warrior class, the warrior class of our people, whether it be male or female. We need to be talking to the young and energetic black brothers and sisters, not just to make them knowledgeable, but to inspire them. Because people can have knowledge and not be inspired. I witness that all the time. People have knowledge and don't do nothing. Knowledge was the whole thing. That's the whole thing. That's why I tell brothers all the time, the knowledge ain't power. See, if knowledge was power, black folks would be powerful as hell. If knowledge was power, you know? No. We have to be inspired to take knowledge and utilize it for our benefit and for our development. So what was missing in that conversation that Shabaka had was our youth. Somebody to transfer the history to. Somebody to say, oh, that's what happened. That's what happened? Say, yeah, that was your granddad. You know, the one that if he didn't exist, you wouldn't exist. We're not making that connection. If somebody hear me out there, we're not making that connection. So we got a wealth of knowledge, but we have no applicators. We're not talking to the right people. To a warrior class that's inspired, because they don't know. I will say that. They don't know. And they need to know. How do they know? Or this is how they find out now. Because we have to have a 100-year anniversary for them to find out that it was a such thing as Black Wall Street. Because we never came back and built it so they could see it. So they could be born into the reality of it. So we got to have a 100-year anniversary for them to know about it. And then we have all these discussions about it, like what we're doing now. But what happened, and why haven't we built institutions that teach our history every day? Why haven't we done that? See, just like I was telling Brother Noble, we've gotten comfortable. We some niggas. I know people got problems with how me and Brother Maurice come across. That's why me and Brother Maurice found each other. Because people got problems with us. Because we ain't got no problem telling it like it is. Y'all got a problem with people telling it like it is. We have to sugarcoat and articulate things in a professional way. Well, I don't even like the word professional because I know what it denotes. It is note that you're trying to be like white people. And I'm not. Brother Maurice is not. You see, you're not professional. I'm not trying to be. I'm trying to be real. I'm trying to make your soul feel something. I'm trying to convey a message to us from our ancestors, not from these crackers. So I don't know how, Brother Maurice, that the next generation built the damn city back, but they want to utilize white people. See how white people break our will? at a barber this week. They said, well, I don't hate white people. Well, goddamn it, I'm not trying to concentrate on their conversation. Yeah. I'm not trying to concentrate on that conversation. I hate evil. And if you're a proponent of evil, I hate your ass. I ain't got no problem with it. The Bible that they love so much say God loved Jacob, but he hated Esau. Who hated Esau? God. But people to hate people that killed them, burn their cities down, rape their mamas and sisters and daughters and kill their babies. It's wrong for black people to hate that. Well, I'm telling you what Malcolm said. Malcolm said sad people don't change nothing. Mad people change things. But we're mad. Look at that. Then look at that. White folk were mad at black people. And they found a reason to utilize that emotion to get done what they needed to get done. So since you sad, you didn't do shit, did you? We didn't do shit, did we? Because we sad. We ain't getting mad about that. We found a way to love white people. Well, maybe when we build it back, we should let white people help us. We ain't got no cause. We talking about the 100-year anniversary of the Rosewood. No, I'm sorry. That's something I want to touch on as well. The Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street Massacre. That's what we're talking about. Maybe we can't talk about. Maybe it's not a conversation that we should have. Maybe we should be talking about sports. Or maybe we should be talking about Kanye West or Pooh Shiesty and Yo Gotti. Oh, we got a caller. No, I get somebody. Let that caller come on. Come on, caller.
How you doing? Is this Anthony?
This is Brother Patrick, the Black Liberation Movement.
You know,
who we speaking with?
This is Mr. P. How you doing, Patrick?
Mr. P.
P as in Paul, yes.
Okay, how you doing, Brother P?
I'm doing fine.
Where you calling from, Brother P?
I'm calling from the South, in the Midwest.
What part? Which part of the South?
Down in the Delta region, Bayou country,
yes,
right now.
Delta? Okay,
yeah.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
You know the things that's not told about that incident in Tulsa? There wasn't all African Americans. You know who they were?
Who were they?
The Muscovy Creek.
Okay.
Muscovy Creek is a separate nation. At least they were at that time. It was one of the five civilized tribes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, when Lincoln declared the Emancipation Proclamation, and it celebrated on June the 19th, 1865, Lincoln didn't have no authority over the states that had seceded. But also, he had no authority over those Indian nations who had slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Be like him trying to tell Mexico to release slaves. In the Treaty of 1866, those tribes released some slaves. The Mississippi Chickasaw told the government that if you want us to release our slaves, you got to pay us for it. And they did. They came out of Florida on the Trail of the Tears and went to the Texas Panhandle, which at that time included parts of Oklahoma Territory. They owned that land. You can't buy land from them. They can only let members of the nation utilize it, which included blacks. Because one of their first Supreme Court justices was Jesse Franklin. He was a black man. So people ain't telling okay. their story right.
Okay, so let me say this. You say you calling from the Delta, Brother P?
Yes, sir.
The Mississippi Delta, the Delta extends into three states, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. What part of the Delta?
Arkansas is not part of the Delta. You talking about Georgia?
Yes,
I'm part. I'm over
no,
Louisiana.
Sir. No, sir.
I mean, Luke,
no,
I'm
no,
from
listen,
Louisiana.
Yes, okay, listen. There's no Delta in Georgia. Okay, what I'm talking about is the Mississippi Delta that extends into three states. Those states are Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. That's a fact. I don't know about a Delta in Georgia.
So what water?
I don't know about a Delta in Georgia.
What body of water? What body of water that empties into the ocean comes out of?
The Mississippi River.
Is that Arkansas?
The Mississippi River. No, no, no.
All right.
The
well, the Mississippi River.
River. Body of water.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Arkansas is above Memphis and also above Louisiana, Mississippi. Right?
Sir,
well, you drive
sir,
to Louisiana,
this,
when you take 55.
Sir.
Well, anyway, just whatever you want it to be, that's good. You're right. You're absolutely
no,
right. What else you want to question me?
Okay. Well,
go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you then. Because I can just drive right across here to 61 Highway, Tunica, Mississippi, and drive south. Yeah, not north, and drive south and cross right over into Helena, Arkansas. And that's part of Delta.
Okay.
That's why,
okay,
that's why I was asking you, Brother P. This is a fact,
yeah.
brother. And I'm not trying,
all right,
to,
I believe
I'm trying to get back to a
I
point.
I don't know everything,
okay,
but it's okay.
To a point. Okay, well, it's
yeah.
not about whether or not we know everything or not. It's about us sharing and understanding, because that's what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to figure out, because you told me you're from the South. I wanted to know exactly what part of the South are you from?
I'm presently in Louisiana. I'm not from Louisiana.
Okay.
I'm from Missouri.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm from Mississippi. And this is what I
okay.
want you to understand historically. And I heard what you said. You said that, well, people not telling that story right, Brother Patrick. Part of that population was Muscogee Indians. Okay? You said part
that
of
that was their land.
Okay? That was their land. Well, the whole goddamn place that we own right now, they call North America, was their land.
No, they sold some of it.
Well, you can say so. You know what I'm
no,
saying?
It's true. They sold some of it.
That ain't the, okay, so, what I'm telling you, brother, without straining at a neck. See, I don't strain at neck to swallow camel. So if the natives that were here sold land, it went to a greater capacity than the land that got took from them. Okay?
Well,
that's
it did
I'm
get
saying.
Take. What they did is that they warred and lost the war, and in the treaty, they had to settle for that. It's just like when
okay.
you said 40 acres in the move, 40 acres in a mule, Patrick. Takumi Sherman and Secretary of War Stanton could not give blacks the land that the plantation owners, which include blacks too, blacks had slaves, they couldn't give them that land because the land belonged to the Indians.
Okay, so they killed all the Indians, so what the fuck they going to give it to?
No, they
so
killed all the Indians.
Brother P, well, you're right. There's still some Indian down there. On
because
Revolution
you
right
had
now, so
the Creek fought with the Confederates, right?
Yes, sir. I'm not going to have that debate with you. What I'm trying to get to, brother, is this right here. Because this is knowledge pontification. You okay? We can go back and forth with this all night. I'm trying to figure out, are you a Muskegee Indian?
Am I a Muskegee Indian?
Right.
No, I'm not a Muskegee Indian.
What do you classify yourself as?
Well, I'm a United States citizen.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah,
I just
I'm
wanted to put
man.
That out there
okay. Listen,
on
that
area.
And we can do that all night. We can
well,
do that
look,
all
I'm gonna
night,
let you get back to your. I'm gonna let you
make.
Get back to your program, Mr. Patrick.
Thank you, brother.
I'm
we
sorry
to
interrupt.
Go back to our regular scheduled program. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. All right. Thank you. Bye. Okay, that's exactly what I'm talking about right there for the listener. Brother P did some. The shit that I'm talking about, the whole knowledge pontificate, that shit don't get us nowhere. He's talking about some Muskegee Indian. If you're not a Muskegee Indian, then why are you talking about that? We here because I was trying to point out to him, he tried to tell me the Delta is in Georgia. Ain't no damn Delta in Georgia. This is what happened. This is how we get diverted. I tell people all the time, ignorance ain't our only, hell, we got knowledge impediment. We got knowledge impediment. That was an impediment right there. Brother felt compelled. Didn't even want to tell us where he was. What body of water dumped into the ocean? I know this. Arkansas not part of the Delta. Man, I can drive to Arkansas in 35 minutes right now from Mississippi. Man. That's one of our problems right there in the debate. Into liberation with each other. Took me right off my point. Let's get back to what it is that I want to talk about. We black. 10,000 migrants from Greenwood, Mississippi. With no damn Muskogee Indians either. Ain't no Muskogee Indians on this show. What we talking about them for? We in peril right now. We in peril. Right now. And we want to talk about Muskogee Indians. Kelly, Muskogee Indians ain't talking about it. Why are you talking about it? We want Asians. You need to help yourself. Not a debate. Well, listen. Black Wall Street wasn't the only massacre. It wasn't just the only historical massacre that happened, like white people just decided one day to do this in one city. No, this is what white people do. This habit. They're creatures of habit. This is what they do. Do you want me to name the massacre? These are the major ones that took place. Native American history that just got off the phone. I hope you're still on so you can hear these black massacres. We talking about black massacres. Massacre in Chicago, Illinois. Massacre in Springfield, Illinois. Massacre in New York. Massacre in Detroit. Massacre in Washington, D.C. Massacre in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Massacre in Wilmington, North Carolina. Massacre in St. Louis, Missouri. Where you from, Brother P? But you want to talk about Muskogee Indians. It sound like you so smart, emancipation, and all that. Man, fuck that. Massacre in Rosewood, Florida. Massacre in Camilla, Georgia. St. Bernard Parish, Louisiana, where you at now. Massacre in New Orleans, Louisiana. Massacre in Thibodaux, Louisiana. Colfax, Louisiana. Slocum, Texas. Apollosis, Louisiana. Let's get closer to home. Massacre in Memphis, Tennessee. Massacre in Elaine, Arkansas. Massacre in Clinton, Mississippi. Massacre in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Not to mention the Devil's Punch Bowl that was committed by Union soldiers, not Confederate soldiers. Union soldiers of black women and children. Women and children. Look it up, historian of the Muskogee Indians. Look up the Devil's Punch Bowl in Nashville, Mississippi, where Union soldiers created a concentration camp. Black prisoners of war. I ain't going to call them slaves. Call them prisoners of war. Never benefit for them. They killed them. They say peace trees growing that depression in the earth right now that nobody eats from. That's not even on this list. I'm sure thousands of others is not even on this list. He made me mad. Talk about Biden. Do we have any callers? If we have any callers, let me know. But let's talk about Biden and his address yesterday that I'm sure he didn't write. I'm sure somebody wrote it. Probably some nigga wrote it for him to express sympathy on this day of commemoration of the anniversary of the killing. Biden's speech reminded me of, family, it reminded me of Bill Clinton And see, one thing that Biden and Clinton have in common, they got the approval of the black community. They got the overwhelming support and approval of the black community. So in doing that, they feel like they should do something. No. Take that back. They don't feel like they should do a damn thing for your fancy to make you feel like you were justified in putting them in power over you. So Biden's speech reminded me, because the reparation talk is always strong when a white motherfucker want to win the most powerful office in the land, the reparation talk come up. See, the reparation talk came up with Biden, but where is it now? Where is it now? See, Asian got shit just because people started shooting in Asian shops down there in Georgia. Next thing you know, a whole goddamn Asian hate crime bill been passed. And you've been getting killed and we've been getting killed for 500 fucking laws. Not even a piece of legislation suggesting shit don't even make it through the House. Okay? But these white men that tickle your fancy and you wanna run out and pass your ballot. Malcolm said, registration without education is silly. You don't even know what you're doing. See white men in power, so they want to tell you some shit to make you feel good about it. So Bill Clinton, who I'm reminded of when I'm thinking about Biden yesterday, Bill Clinton got up there and apologized for slavery. That motherfucker just apologized for slavery. And we overwhelmingly fell in love with this crap. I get mad about our ineptitude. I get mad how gullible we are. It's just like having a promiscuous daughter. Everybody get their turn. Ain't no father proud of that. So only thing Bill Clinton had to do once he got in office was just say, hey, you know all that shit we did to y'all, poor parents, we sorry. We apologize. I tell white people all the time, they talk to me. White people talk to me. They come down to my place of business and they sit down and they say, hey, Brother Patrick. You know, I really commend what it is that you're doing for black people. I said, really? Yeah. I said, so you, what are you? What are you? You know? What I do? Will you tell that to other white people? Will you stand up in your pulpit? No, you won't. And let me tell you another thing. In this race reconciliation talk, you know, a conversation and an apology is not reconciliation. So at the end of the day, you ain't willing to do something, you get the fuck out of my face. You see what I'm saying? Crocker is not going to do nothing to change your position from the permanent undeclared. That's something we have to do. Okay? You keep putting them in power. And the only thing they're going to do is what Biden did yesterday, gave a nice speech. And said and talked about generational wealth needs to be built in the black community. Well, you can do something about that, Biden. See, that was yesterday that he gave that speech. What are you doing today? You don't have to do nothing because we were satisfied. With the talk. People would be discriminated against, marginalized, killed until they develop the moral character to stand up for their own humanity. Stand up for your own humanity. We have a caller. Caller, come on.
PA, what's going on, brother?
Yes, sir. I was expecting you to call. Yes, sir. How you doing, Brother Eric? Always great to hear from you.
I'm doing. Yes, sir. I appreciate it. I'm doing all right. Brother Maurice, Sister Crystal, if y'all listening, how y'all doing?
Yeah, I've been listening in, man, and it ain't too many people that I come across that I feel like can speak for me. But every time I've been privileged to listen to your conversation, Brother Maurice, Sister Crystal, y'all speak that talk. Y'all speak to my heart. Y'all speak what's real, and I appreciate that. Let me just say that first of all. Now, secondly, the truth of the matter is we in a system, man, that was created and is still dominated by white people. And a lot of these niggas walking around, they got the mind of the original nigga, the white man. And that brother that just called in, you know, he sounds like an elder in years anyway. And, you know, they got all their little minions out here like that think like them to do their bidding for them. They can just sit back. They got plenty of niggas here that's going to come in and try to change the narrative and, you know, take the focus off of what it need to be on, which is us, black people.
Sir.
I don't give a fuck about what nobody else went through. I don't want to hear shit about no Asians, no Jews, none of that shit. Because the truth of the matter is, black people, Africans, whatever you want to say, have been subjugated, disrespected, murdered, all the different shit, more than any other group of people. And we still have to receive any type of justice for that. Other groups, they done got what they get, you know, like with that AIDS and shit. You know, miraculously, they just signed a bill overnight, and now they got policy backing them up. And if you do something to an Asian motherfucker, that's instantly a hate crime.
That's right.
Just like
that's
that. Right. So if they wanted to do something to alleviate the pain of black people, whether it be the abuse by the police, other oppressive shit in the school system, all that different shit, economics, they could do that. But they don't want to.
Yes,
like
sir.
You say, they just going to come with that feel-good shit when they need a motherfucker to help them get elected and all that shit. And they going to talk good to you just like how a pimp do. He going to sell you a dream. He going to sell you the world with his mouthpiece.
Yes,
but he ain't going to give you shit.
Yes, sir.
So just like you talking about that promiscuous daughter, you know, that's kind of that same type of thing, I guess, just getting prostituted out, man, and ain't getting nothing in exchange for that shit. And
that's right.
I don't know, man.
That's
they
right.
get exhausted trying to catch these slow-ass niggas up to speed. And it's hard because I try not to be judgmental. I know I wasn't always at the place where I'm at. But when I see especially older cats like that, man, it's like it's hard to have that type of patience with them because it's like, brother, you, and for every 10 steps, every step we might take, it's niggas like that pull us 10 steps back. You know?
Yes,
and
sir.
So
yes, sir.
I applaud what you're doing,
sir.
Brother. Hopefully one day it'll be more people that's on the same page. But up until then, in my heart, I just feel like we got to get together people that think like you and I, and Brother Maurice and Sister Crystal and other members of the Black Liberation Movement that understand what time it is. You know?
Yes, sir.
And so I really just wanted to call in and give my little 2 cents, man, and let you know I was listening. And I'll be tuning in the rest of the show, hearing what you got to say.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Brother Eric, man, every time, brother. And thank you, Brother Eric. You can just wait. You know, listen in on the rest of the show, brother. I love you. And listen, that right there is what we talking about. We talking about that. What Brother Eric said was, it's not many people that can speak my language. It's not many people that speak to my heart. Said you, Brother Patrick, you, Brother Maurice, you, Sister Crystal, and the other people that compose the effort that we call the Black Liberation Movement, y'all speak for me. Now, I want the people that's locked in this battle with Brother Patrick to understand what that brother is saying. He said, we speak for him. That means out of all the elected officials supposed to be representatives of the people, he ain't talking about them. He's talking about us, the political movement. See, we political as well. Dr. Murphy taught me that. He said, Pat, you don't participate in no politics. He said, but you're the biggest politician in Mississippi. I said, what you talking about, Doc? He said, what you think the black liberation movement is? He said, that's a political movement. He said, what is your political orientation? He said, it's black liberation. The other niggas talking about Democrat, Republican. He said, you are the political advocate of black liberation. So we have a political party that speaks for at least one person I know. He called in and he told us, he said, y'all speak for me. See, that's a true representative right there. I think somebody, a brother Maurice said, this coon-ass nigga over there in South Carolina, the third highest ranking. That's how he got to be the highest ranking, because he ain't no different from the cracker. See? But he got there, and I'm sure he got there by the black vote. But do he represent black people up there talking about America is not a racist country? How blatant and disrespectful can you be? So thank you, Brother Eric, because that makes me know that we rep. Me believe. It makes me know. Belief is the acceptance of things you don't know. We relevant. The Black Liberation Movement is relevant today. Thank you, Brother Eric. You always own, brother, and we always appreciate your commentary. And we proud to have strong members and support like yourself. And we got you too, brother. We got you too. So let's move on. I don't know how much more time we have. I have enjoyed this show as thus far. I have enjoyed this show. But I found an interesting fact about Black Wall Street. It said the day that the destruction in Black Wall Street, the destruction in Black Wall Street today, what would be the economic cost of that destruction? At that time, in 1921, it was about, according to Essence Magazine, I think that's where the information came from, $1.8 million of destruction, which translates in today's dollars to about $27 million. Now, I'm saying this for a reason, because it said today the destruction that took place in Black Wall Street would have been about $27 million. In destroyed property. Now think about that in today's time. Hell, I know NBA athletes that sit on the bench and make $27 million. I'm just trying to show you how ridiculous it is that we have not decided to build greater. I ain't talking about equal to, greater. We have at least one person that entertain white people on a nightly basis making $27 million. Estimated wealth of the black community would make us the seventh largest gross national income in the world. And oh shit, we did a show a few weeks ago. It said, who is your standard? Are we little white supremacists? See, if we wanted to build Black Wall Streets all over this country, we could. It wouldn't be nothing for us to build Black Wall Street, but we don't want to do that. I'm talking about the mass majority of us don't want to do that. I said that Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street destruction in property value is about $27 million in today's dollars. We could take $27 million and turn Coldwater, Mississippi into a black haze. The Black Liberation Movement said, give $1 a day. We wanted 1 million people to just decide to do that. And if you had told me in 5 years we wouldn't have 500 people doing that, I would have bet my life that we would have had 500 people committed to doing that. And as it stands today, we don't have 200 people that have committed to a dollar a day. That's so unbelievable. But you give Tommy Hilfiger, you give Michael Kors money, you give Gucci money, you give Saks Fifth Avenue money. Brother Noble said, just send a shovel up here to Colorado. We won't even do that. Too busy tangled up in white folk web. If we have any call. Well, we decided that the Black Liberation Movement. Do we have any calls?
No callers right now.
I can't hear you. Hold on 1 second. Let's get a clear line. Who's calling?
We don't have any callers right now.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Angela.
You're welcome.
Well, what I decided to do here in Mississippi is to develop black townships that we already have. Now, Tulsa, Oklahoma was composed of a lot of people from here. Mississippi, the Greenwood District, over people from Mississippi. But there were enough people that stayed back here to make Mississippi the largest black of America. That means we have a lot of already predominantly controlled black cities, black towns. We live in one. 85% black. That's ground zero. So what Brother Noble is trying to do is kind of different from what it is that we do. We're going to take over where we already at. And just like Brother Noble, we employ solicit your support and your help in doing it. But we're not going to if we don't get it, because we haven't been getting it, and we still been pushing forward. So I'm grateful for the contingency of committed people that we had to push forward, because Black Wall Street is not just a memory to us. It's not just something that we waiting for white folks to give us permission to talk about. And we sure in the hell ain't waiting on white people to tell us that it's okay to do it again. We're looking for some more calls. We're looking for some more participation in the conversation. Sister Crystal, you on? Okay. Well, that's about all I have. The question is, what now? What are we going to do now? You know, I wish we had people on so that we can petition them on what it is. What is the state of black America? What do we think we need to be doing in the wake of this historic anniversary of this massacre? What are we supposed to be doing now? I don't know what else to say, but we supposed to be building. We supposed to be galvanizing the effort to resurrect and erect something tangible that suggests that we have a humanity, suggests that we have integrity as a people. Trying to look back at some of these facts that were presented in Essence magazine concerning Black Wall Street. They actually say, and I think this is what Brother Maurice was speaking to, Trust with Black Wall Street is being revitalized and reactivated. Really? Let's see how. It said that the 1921 Commission, it's some commission that they had come up with, the 1921 Commission, which is the year that Black Wall Street was destroyed, which is led by Senator Kevin Matthews, I don't know who that is, and local entrepreneur Phil Armstrong, a community that once existed while placing a spotlight on the massacre that destroyed it. It said, in addition to that, the 1921 Commission also financially supported Black artists and entrepreneurs to revitalize Black Wall Street and ensure the next generation knows. Well, that's what we're doing. We basically letting you know. That's what we're doing. But according to Brother Maurice, this effort of revitalization, I'm thinking Brother Maurice was referring to something more historic than what they doing, what they talking about right here now. But I'm sure it involves, you know, them. So I think somebody's on. Who's on?
This is me, yes, Brother Patrick. Oh, sorry. Go
okay.
ahead, Brother Maurice.
No, go ahead, Sister Crystal. You go ahead. I'll go after you.
Fine. I was just wanted to let y'all know that I was on. I had to call in, so I'm on. I did miss part of the segment because I had something going on, but I'm listening and I'm enjoying what I'm hearing. So go ahead.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, sir, brother. I'm talking. You know, once they burned down, and then you know a lot of them did not return, but some of them did stay. And they did rebuild, and they went the integrated route instead of being the Black exclusive route that they were when they first built.
Okay.
and this is, you know, the thing that really gets me, even about the caller. I think he said Brother P. To go off and say that Black people own slaves. Now you're mm-hmm. in the South, where if you had a dollar, if a slave had a dollar, the cracker can take it. If the cracker wants your wife, he can take your wife, and you can't do a damn thing about it. If you own slaves, you got money. You living in you got a big plantation. If them crackers wasn't going to let you be their senators or their mayors after the end of slavery, what the hell would make you think that they would let you be, quote unquote, better than them during slavery? This bullshit
right.
about Black people owning slaves is bullshit and need to really be killed. Because it doesn't even flow right. If they will snatch your ass from the quote-unquote North and bring you to the South, and you in the South and you owning slaves, and they not going to snatch your ass and take your shit, please, come on. That don't even make sense.
Right.
These are the lies that are told to make our people think, oh, well, really? Well, they must have wasn't that bad then. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. This cracker ain't worth a goddamn. ain't worth a goddamn. And those who begin to believe that bullshit, and then they go to teach that bullshit to other people, and then they begin to justify and rationalize in their mind, well, then they must not be black. Oh, black people own slaves? Black people was whooping and killing and stealing you from this place and doing this? Then they just as bad. And no.
Right.
No, that's real.
Right.
We got to, we can't be misguided and sent off in a different place, given the cracker cover, given the cracker shelter, when that cracker should get all of our hate, that no good back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And Brother Maurice, that caller represents a segment, a large segment of our people. You know, in many ways, that caller, the brother Pete, diverted pretty much like the white man did the second podcast we ever did. They called in and tried to create a whole nother narrative. See, you're not finna change my narrative. Not on our show. You're not finna change that. And see, people think that they can do that to us. But just like Brother Lyle said, he said, y'all speak for me. And we are unapologetic about what it is that we do. This is just a podcast, blog talk. That's all. This is what this is. But you're not going to compromise this. We said
right.
what it was when we came on. We said this is a black liberation movement. Wednesday night broadcast. You're not changing that. This is not the Muskogee Indian effort to revitalize and all that. This is not that. So we hear you, but we don't appreciate that. And what I'm saying is that you represent a large segment, Mr. P, who didn't even want to say who you were, didn't even want to say where you were. Why is that? But you want to impart on us something about the Muskogee Indians, talking about Black Wall Street. These knowledge pontificators, man, I've been filled out a long time ago with them. So, you know, this is where we at. You know, and that segment of our people have to be told pretty much the manner which I did. We'll let you know. That's not the narrative here. You know, our people deserve to hear our story.
That's right.
Our story. So that we can be to action on our history and what must be done. We have to hear our story. So, yeah, I don't appreciate people that try to divert our narrative and tell our story and flip everything where we're not even important anymore. Or, you know, part of or some of those people out there with Muskogee Indian, well, okay. You know, I guess when you get done, it's a Muskogee Indian somewhere, they're going to pat you on your back. You know, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what you expect, you know, because you're not going to get that from here. We're talking about, you know, the social dynamics that we having to deal with. And we really want to reflect, but we really talking about what are we going to do. Now, you know, I was out there today all day with Brother Kwame, Brother Zaheed. And, you know, I was telling the brother, I said, brother, it's 2.5-3 acres of land that we got out here that we grow this food on now for the last, this will be the 5th year. We take pride in this. You can't come take a tomato off the vine out there. You understand? You can't come take one tomato off the vine out there. And I explained to them that what we doing here, because they were sweating and they was tired. By the time we finished one row, 2 rows, I can already see in their demeanor, you know, the heat was intense. And they were ready to give out, but they weren't ready to give up. They said, Baba, what we do next? I said, y'all see how taxing this is. So why y'all think I keep doing it? Why y'all think at the same moment right now, I'm giving up and I'm letting go of a business that I've been doing for the last 20 years to do this right here, to concentrate on this. All this labor. Why y'all think this is being done? It's being done to show you, not just you, but to show our people. Somebody has to make the commitment.
That's right.
And that's what we're doing. We're making a commitment to show our people that we can develop ourselves. We know that that small plot of land is not going to feed a nation. We know that. But we're showing you the microcosm of what a macrocosm look like. See, we ain't got it in us to go and kill people and just take their land and rape their mothers and kill their whole bloodline. That ain't us. But we're going to have to develop some type of fortitude to fight back against those who have been willing to do that and continue to suppress us. And I told the brothers out there today, I said that black suffering is white survival.
Ooh.
Black suffering is white survival. So you ain't going to be looking for white people to come to your rescue. Don't look for that. It's something we have to do ourselves. And that's why we have to be an institution that's built around the teachings of our great ancestors that have already dealt with this system, diagnosed it, broke it down, and showed us in theory what it is we must do. So that's what we're doing. But we have to build institutions that teach our children every day, Sister Crystal, Brother Maurice, Sister Angela, and those, Brother Eric, and those who are listening. We have to build institutions, and we have to be courageous enough. You see, like we said at the summit, courage don't mean you're not afraid or you're not reluctant. It means you all them things, but you still do it. Still go on and do it. That's what courage is. But then, see, you practice courage so much over and over. It's just like truth. When I take her out walking, some of these things she's afraid of, but we do it religiously every morning. So now she's not afraid anymore. You know? So now she has become brave. White people brave with white supremacy. I heard one cracker say, man, I'm not trying to hear that equality talk. It's what the cracker said to the nigga with the dreads trying to petition him on humanity and equality. The white boy said, man, you could go on with that. He said, because I just want to bask in the glory of white supremacy.
Ooh.
That's what he said.
Ooh.
See, white supremacy is unforgiving. So how do you break away from that? What you do? You pray? You pray out of that? What you do? You enter into diplomacy about this, and you try to petition the moral conscience of these devils? What do you do? Because we've done all that. But what we haven't done on humanity without apologizing to a motherfucker. That's what we haven't done. That's what we haven't done. We haven't built our own institution. We haven't decided that we're going to do this our way. See, we ain't done that. We ain't responded yet, in the words of John Henry Clark. We haven't responded. We have reacted. And the cracker just make us cry. We ain't responded. Well, see, I got something that I'm willing to respond, generation, my lineage, my race. We have it, call it. Well, we can get ready to close it out, Brother Maurice, Sister Crystal. If y'all don't have anything to say. But if you do, go ahead.
Until we build, what do we expect to happen? If we do not understand the importance of building, then what are we doing? What are we growing in our knowledge war if we don't understand. You know, one of the points that was made about the Tulsa massacre was that, you know, all these things have been purposely excluded from people, not just in Oklahoma, but in the nation. Why is that? Why would you want to exclude that? You know, I saw somebody make a post today. They just found out about the move bombing. Why is that? You know, so, and that just speaks to why we must build and maintain our own institution. If you say, wow, I just found out about this, and that doesn't make you angry? What?
Yeah.
Because it made me angry every time I learned something that I should have known, especially if it's in my home state. I learned about the Elaine massacre a few years ago from Arkansas. You know? So these events that should spark and anger you, and as Malcolm X said, anger, it moves you. Sad people don't do anything. Mad people do something. So are we mad, or we just feel some type of way, or are we surprised? Do we think that these people ain't, you know, because we want them to be so humanitarian that we just sad, that saddens us to know that they would do this to us? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just an ongoing driving force for me. So I told Brother Kwame and Brother Jahi every day I wake up, and my goal is to do something for our people, for us. If it's nothing but write an article for the newsletter every day, I'm going to do something for us, for our liberation. That's what, you know, these things drive me. What next, y'all? What next? Are we just going to keep talking about it and in 20 years celebrate 20 more years? Or, and I don't even know if celebrate is the right word. Remember 20 more years? All we do is remember, you know, never forget, never forget why. Never forget so that we can teach our babies so that they don't have to learn about it when they're 40 and 50 years old. And then the last part of their life try to do something. No, we need the energy of our youth and our babies to make sure that they are an integral force in building something for us. And that's all I want to say.
Right. Well, we thank you, Sister Crystal, and we thank you for putting in. I, for one, bear witness to that work. We appreciate it. You know, you serving in that capacity. Absolutely right. We at a point now where it's put up or shut up. And we have to take the lead on what it is that need to be put up, you know, and so people could shut up, because we not going to win. Just remember, you know, we're going to have to do something. Yeah, we need to be reminded. Of course we do. But we need to be inspired once we remind. And you bring a very interesting point up, Sister Crystal, when you say that, you know, somebody just learned of the move in Philadelphia, you know, because we need institutions that teach us these things the same way the white man institutionalized the educational process of training the niggas in these school systems where they know what you're supposed to know at a certain time in your development. They know what you're supposed to know at a certain time in your development. They got a place for young black boys that if by the third grade, if they not functioning literate in the way where we got a place for you. We got a place for you. You know, and they build prisons all over Mississippi, all over this nation that white men invest in because of the educational system that they created.
the training system, and they create the prisoner by the third grade.
Mm-hmm.
They predetermine. So we can't combat that. I'm trying to see where the intelligence really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Army and the Navy and the military have something that they call counterintelligence. See, I know people think, well, you don't articulate. You don't even know. If I wanted to have
right.
an articulated battle with you, I'll articulate the hell out of all of you. All of you. I don't care nothing about that. But the military has something that they call counterintelligence. That means when somebody that acted intelligently against you, they have a counterintelligence to act against that or to ward off that. So what are we doing with all our intelligent-ass black folks that go stop our warrior class from being predetermined and pipelined to prison? You know, what are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do about that? You know? Now, you know what we're going to do? We're going to keep on teaching they shit. That's what we exemplifying that we're going to do. See? These public school system, this is a white woman profession. I see black women in it acting just like white motherfucking women. I see it. So you know what your professionalism is, right? Your professionalism means to me that you're willing to uphold white policies even when it diametrically oppose black children. That's what your professionalism means. Then you look at me like, I'm not crazy at all. I just told you the truth. You willing to uphold white policy is what makes you a professional. You know? So I tell you, you know that right there is, you know, it's going to hurt that child right there, right? I'm just what I'm telling you? That's what I'm telling you. You just going to do your job even if it hurts black folks. So white people got this shit on autopilot. They got it on autopilot. And they got black, white people in black skin that continue to propel it forward. So it got to be a counterintelligence that's active to reverse the process. So white people have us trained in a functionality that diametrically opposed to our own self. It was Professor Small that said that if you practice the culture of those who committed genocide of you, you would be committing genocide on yourself. That's what we do. And we don't have an institution that's going to reverse the process yet. We talking about Black Wall Street 100 years later, and we letting Joe Biden tell us about it. That's something to me.
Yeah.
And I guarantee that motherfucker not working on one piece of legislation today. They're going to build generational wealth. You see, this is another thing that I hate, Sister Crystal and Brother Maurice. I hate when them crackers steal our turn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got white people now talking about unapologetically black. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Then they turn that shit into a black woman thing, a LGBTQ
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then they talking about generational wealth needs to be built in the black community. This is what Biden was saying yesterday. You see? You stand up here talking about generational wealth in
right.
the black community. Only thing you have to do is do that same thing that Trump was doing. Pass an executive order, motherfucker.
Yep.
Pass an executive order. But it is what it is, you know. I'm convinced that these niggas, we got a lot of niggas out here, man. I seen a lot of niggas get PPP loans. And I said, niggas, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm talking about I seen niggas, you know, that ain't never had nothing. I know because I had to help them through a lot. And I ain't saying I got something. But what I am is that I know these niggas didn't have shit. They get $20,000, and 3 weeks later they broke. What the fuck? So, you know, I don't know, you know. So it is what it is, man. I'm just. Thank you. I'm just thinking. You know,
mm-hmm.
these crackers, man. They in a very king position right now. You know, we got a lot of work to do, but we got to get about the business of doing it. And I appreciate, you know, everybody that stands the way that we push. I appreciate it. I don't know how much time we got, Brother Maurice. How much time we have?
4 minutes.
4 minutes. Well, there we have it. There we have it. It is what it is. I appreciate each and every one of you. I feel that we had a robust discussion, a necessary discussion, you know. Stop letting these folks play with your emotions. President of the United States, stand before you and talk about your history and make you feel good about it. I saw them niggas standing behind him. I saw them niggas smiling every time he said something that seemed like it was endearing. I saw him. And my stomach turned.
That's right.
At these niggas. My stomach turned. Couldn't even watch. But we got something real here. Keep
That's
building.
Right.
We trying to make loud enough noise that the world will hear. We trying to build strong enough and bold enough that people will see it. So we thank you all for tuning in tonight. We implore that you stick with us and stand by us as we push forward with the effort that we push it forward with. And Brother Maurice, I think we got about 2 minutes. Close us out as you always do.
Yes, sir. All right. Excellent program. Excellent program, sir. Excellent program. As we always say, you kill the nigga in you, I'm going to kill the nigga in me, and our God will reign supreme. We are Black First. Today, tomorrow, and forever. Peace and blessings, family. Assalamu alaikum. Shalom. Love y'all.
Bless you.